It's the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene with me, Tim Rocky. Welcome, welcome to the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene. I am Tim Rocky. On this show, we deliver sports numbers, news, and nonsense. And this evening, we have a wonderful show for you of sports news, jazz, blues. It's all right here on 89.7 FM Radio Free Palmer. The biggest of Big Cabbage Radio, as you already know. So, what's happening? What's up? See, I'm Tim Rocky, and I like me some sports. I'm going to tell you about what kind of music we're playing a little later on in the show, but holy cow, I saw Star Wars this weekend. It's going to be very difficult for me to get through this, but I have got to get my thoughts out without delivering spoilers. Holy shnikes, it's snowing outside, like real snow. Not that wet stuff that was coming down earlier this morning, but the actual snow. I'm happy. All right, it's going to be a good show, people. Tune in. So, Star Wars happened. They brought back the arguably the two most influential, most important characters in the entire canon from the original trilogy. There were... this is going to be difficult without spoilers. There were fuzzy little things that were cute and cuddly, and you thought, aw, and they really had no... Let me not, you know, denote Ewoks, because Ewoks took down, you know, basically the entire Empire. But cute, cuddly little things that will determine who likes Star Wars based on, was it the cute, cuddly little things, or was it the plot and storyline in the Jedi Order? There were so many times that new director Rian Johnson kind of thumbed his nose at the old trilogy. There were so many kind of allusions to the first trilogy of what happened, and they walked up to it, looked at it, said, huh, that's funny, and then walked right past it. Man, this is difficult not to give you any spoilers, but I can't do that. I took an oath when I turned the microphone up and I said, I will not spoil Star Wars for anyone who has not yet seen it. That would just be atrocious of me as a human being. So, Star Wars was... I don't know that it was fantastic. I really don't. It's going to be tough for me to have such a positive opinion of that, because it was so different, but it was... I don't know. This was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be, talking about Star Wars without spoiling it. It is definitely exciting. It is definitely fun. It is family-friendly. There are lightsabers. I can tell you that. There are lightsabers. There's fighting. There's yelling. There's... good, there's bad, there's humor. There's lots of humor. They didn't just dabble in humor once every now and then with, you know, dry stuff and Han Solo smirking, but this is almost a comedy film, as much humor as it was. Okay, I've wasted so much time talking about something that I can't even really talk about. So, what we have to get to now is the National Football League. And someone is spinning Brody's in the parking lot. Good for you, ma'am or sir, whoever you are. It's snowing. I'm happy. It's almost time for me to go skiing again. So this week in football, we saw some momentous things occur. The Jacksonville Jaguars clinched a playoff spot for the first time since 2007 when David Garrard was the quarterback. Raise your hand if you remember who David Garrard is. Nobody. Nobody out there? All right. Sounds good. Blake Bortles was... we can't get mad at Blake Bortles for doing the Blake Bortles anymore because, and of course, he was going up against a Houston team quarterbacked by TJ Yates at this point. But Blake Bortles is looking like an MVP candidate right now, people. This is redonkulous what he's done in the last couple of games. He's had quarterback ratings of 86.4. Okay, his touchdown to interception ratio. It was not great against Tennessee, but they've won three out of their last six. He's having many fewer interceptions than he had it previously. Against Baltimore, he threw four touchdowns with no picks. Against Houston, he threw one touchdown with no picks. A QBR of 57.4. A completion percentage of 52. He's been above 52% for his last three games. Blake Bortles is in the MVP conversation. Okay, not really. But that Jaguars defense absolutely is. And Bortles is putting up numbers like a real quarterback right now. It's going to be tough for him once he gets into the playoffs. But we are about to say that Blake Bortles is a playoff quarterback in the NFL. And the Jaguars do. All right, had to throw that one out there for Connor B. The Jaguars are in the playoffs and looking hot. At 10-4, they defend home field very well. They are almost certainly going to win the AFC South. The Jaguars are a force to be reckoned with. Also a force to be reckoned with that no one saw coming, the Los Angeles Rams. Yes, folks, I said it, the Los Angeles Rams. 42-7 winners over the Seattle Seahawks. This week, and wow, I love Todd Gurley. I do. I'm not gonna shy away from saying it. I love Todd Gurley. I have him on my fantasy team, and yes, Days of Our Lions are going to the fantasy football semifinals. Thank you for congratulating me on making it so far in my internet trash talking football game with my friends. The Rams are also firing on all cylinders. Their defense, one of the best in the league. And Jared Goff is looking like a killer right now. Two touchdowns, one interception, 120 yards, because he didn't need to throw the ball all over the field. He handed it off to Todd Gurley, who scored three touchdowns on 21 carries and 152 yards. Yikes. The leader in receiving for LA was Robert Woods, who had six catches for 45 yards, spread the ball around quite a bit. Gurley even caught three for 28 as a second leading receiver. But that defense is just, it's what Seattle was a couple years ago. But Russell Wilson did not look like the Russell Wilson of old. I believe he scored 1.58 points in the league that I play in. He is not having a good week after he'd been carrying that team for almost the entire season with all the injuries on that defense. They're kind of getting long in the tooth over there in Seattle. Sherman is aging. Watson is aging. Irvin is aging. Bennett is, you know, they were good and young, and now they're kind of broken. And you've got to wonder, what are they going to do moving forward? You know they've got to protect Russell Wilson, but how can they keep that defense, which has been their calling card, together for any longer than they have? What is a catch? Do tell me. Please, those of the audience, explain to me what a catch is. Now, I think a catch is, you know, in baseball, you've got it in your glove and either you touch it with one hand or you go to the ground and it remains in your glove. It's not a transfer rule. It's not you going to pull it out of your glove and you drop it with your bare hand. But what is a catch? In the National Football League, we really do not know. So this became apparent. This rule has plagued so many games. This became apparent in the Patriots-Steelers game. And on national television, it's the Sunday night game, so everyone is watching it. And Ben Roethlisberger throws to Jesse James after Juju Smith-Schuster goes almost the length of the field and gets Pittsburgh within striking distance, and they're about to take the game from New England. And then he throws it to Jesse James, the tight end. And James catches the ball, comes down with it with 2 feet, reaches the ball out across the end zone line, but then as he falls to the ground, the ball pops out of his hand. And there are so many, I could spend 2 hours on this show discussing what is a catch, what really is a catch, and nobody knows. It's impossible to determine because nobody really knows. The rule has been changed so many times from you must make a football move to now you must catch it and maintain possession through to the ground. There was discussion of if you're a running back and you run across the goal line and you reach the ball out, the second it crosses the goal line, it is a touchdown. You do not need to maintain control. But the differing regulation on if you're catching the ball as a receiver, you must maintain possession through the ground. Nobody knows. And this rule needs to be rewritten. And it made national headlines. It made primetime television sour as New England takes the game from Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh had the number one seed. And so many haters, AJ Corbin, I'm talking to you, are calling out the NFL saying, oh, the NFL can't stand the Patriots not having a number one seed. And even though Pittsburgh's having a great year, they've kind of limped into the number one seed. It has to be the Patriots to have. And I just wish that it's tough to get into this issue because to go from one end to the other would take so long and would require so much analysis that I really can't just kind of gloss over it. But some of the radio broadcasters that I've been listening to have been saying a catch, it cannot be determined by the rule book. It is a spirit of the rule determination by the referee on the field. But referees don't judge what a catch is based on how they're feeling that day. It's not a strike zone in Major League Baseball. You know, you don't have your own strike zone. I'm going to give you that lower outside corner. And if you're a really good sinker ball pitcher, you can expand that strike zone an inch or 2 inches. No, the NFL referees are ruling the game based on exactly what the rule book says because they want to get it right, especially because they know that so many people are watching and that they've been under so much scrutiny. But NFL referees are not valued at such a level that they have freedom to feel like they can make a call based on spirit of the rule and maintain their job. So based on what happened and based on the way that the rule is written, we assume that it was done correctly. But there are others. Mike Pereira, I believe NFL former head of officiating, was saying that if the player takes the ball in a receiving motion and then reaches it across the goal line, that being a football move is a touchdown. He doesn't have to maintain control of the ground. But who really knows? What is a catch? So we see that play happen. Outrage. Then the Cowboys-Raiders game comes down to an index card where the chain gang measuring the football puts an index card between the ball and the edge of the chain to see, is there any space here? Is this actually something that is a first down or something that is not a first down? And that's another blemish. On national TV, you're seeing someone use basic household items to make decisions for not only the men who are making millions of dollars, risking their health and livelihood in a battle for aggression of real estate, a violent battle for real estate, but you're seeing something that could be done better. There are so many aspects where technology has been brought into sports to help to make it better. MLB has not done that with the strike zone yet, but yes, on boundary calls. The NFL has done so in so many ways with what is the catch and what is the goal line and yada, yada, yada. Tennis has gone to the point where they have in the sky, they have blimps over the tennis court who can zoom in and see exactly where this ball hit. And there is possibility of this technology for a sensor to be on each edge of the ball and to know exactly where that ball is specifically, precisely, in time and space when that ball carrier has it, and to be able to review that information technologically. But the NFL has not made that move yet, and so two huge human errors got to be shown on national television this week. But the Jags won, the Rams won, my fantasy team won, all is right in the NFL. Yes, it is. Everyone is talking about it, and that is what makes all right in the NFL. The NFL is nothing if it is not the most talked about professional sport in the world. Okay, so got to slow it down a little bit. Been going 100 miles an hour here. I hate when news happens on a Tuesday. I absolutely hate it. It makes me angrier than seeing Star Wars spoilers. Thank you, Adam, for listening. The index. Anyway, We'll debate that later, Adam. It makes me angrier than just about anything except for spoilers on a Star Wars article. But, and I completely lost my train of thought. Devin Hester, the famed return man, retired last Tuesday. Devin Hester and Matt Barnes, who plays in the NBA. But we're going to talk about Matt Barnes after the break. Devin Hester, the most dangerous return man of all time. He was one away from breaking Deion Sanders' record for non-offensive touchdowns. He had, I think he holds the record four times. He had a punt return and a touchdown return in the same game. He absolutely changed special teams. When you look at legendary head coaches like Palmer's Rod Christensen, who drills special teams play into his teams, and they are always having the edge against the other team in how they play special teams. You look at a team like the Rams right now, who have three Pro Bowl nominated players on special teams: Johnny Hecker, the punter, Greg Zuerlein, Greg the Leg, the kicker, and their return man, whose name escapes me right now. But to be able to have that edge in the game of field position when you're exchanging the ball is so huge. And Devin Hester absolutely changed the game, where punters either wouldn't kick to him, or return teams were just baffled by what he could do with his speed and agility. And in his retirement tweet, he said that it's okay, Roger Goodell, you can change the kickoff back to the 25 now, as it's been changed 5 yards up, and now you rarely see a return on a kickoff in the NFL. Because it's so dangerous, because there are so many high collision plays, it just doesn't happen. What does happen is touchbacks, lots of them, from even mediocre kickers. But nobody returned footballs like Devin Hester, and for that, we thank him for his career. Started at the University of Miami, went to Chicago, was originally a cornerback. He was a converted defensive back to a return man, and then having such agility, they actually started using him as a wide receiver. And he wasn't ever great, but he was never poor. He was never below average. So we're going to miss seeing Devin Hester. All right, I'm going to turn down the Dr. Dre Nothing But a G thing, which from the album The Chronic celebrated its 15th anniversary this preceding week. And we also heard some beats from Andre Nicotina, just because I wanted to listen to them, and some beats from Mac Miller's The High Life, which I want to say turned 7 this last week, and I, being a Mac Miller junkie, needed to play some of those beats. So right now we're going to listen to some Beck so I can consult with my stats department. And when I return, we will talk basketball and listen to Christmas Trap beats. Yes, you heard that correct. We're going to listen to some Christmas Trap. Shout outs to Nick DeBach for turning me on to some interesting music, to say the least. You're listening to the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene. I'm Tim Rock on 89.7 FM. What we're going to do is we're going to talk some sports numbers, news, and nonsense. And state wrestling was this preceding weekend. Colony did very well, as is, you know, expected. Palmer did very well, as is what they worked very hard for. And Wasilla finished, I believe, just ahead of Colony. So in the team standings, if I can find them really quickly, Lathrop beat Colony for the state championship by 2 points, 320 to 318, followed by South Anchorage. Wasilla was fourth. Palmer was fifth. Palmer Pioneer Trace Severson finished in third. Eric Christie won a state championship for Colony. So did Caleb Hopkins. So did Eric Riedlinger. Levi Ferris was second to Christie in the only all-Valley matchup. You can check out the Frontiersman coverage of the state wrestling tournament if you like. There's that Christmas trap music that I need to hear. Wrestling is one of the most fun things to watch. I don't think I could ever do it, but Wasilla also took home a pair of state titles. Isaiah Elvsauce, I really definitely butchered that name. Andrew Sherpesky also won a state title for Wasilla. So, sad that wrestling's over, because it's very fun to watch, very fun to follow. But congratulations to those from the Valley who succeeded in being awesome when it comes to wrestling. All right. I also forgot to mention that Antonio Brown is out with a torn calf muscle, assumingly for the rest of the NFL regular season. Nick Foles has taken over for Carson Wentz, who with the torn ACL is out for the rest of the regular season. Shohei Ohtani, the Japanese product who is going to play for the Los Angeles Angels this year, has ulnar collateral ligament damage. Yikes. Well, you get what you pay for, or so they say, something like that. In basketball, so I want to talk about Matt Barnes before I talk about Kobe, before I breeze over the Rockets and OKC, and then we got to listen to some more Christmas music, because duh. Matt Barnes was a product out of California, came in as a defensive specialist. Yes, he could ball a little bit. Offensive play was not his strong suit. Matt Barnes did a lot of scaring of a lot of very, very talented men in the National Basketball Association. He played for Golden State for a period of time. Here's how I'm going to remember Matt Barnes. He played for a lot of teams. Clippers, a lot of California teams. He played for the Clippers twice. He played for the Lakers. He played for Golden State twice. He also played for Sacramento twice, to go with Memphis, Phoenix, Orlando. Is that all the teams? Memphis, yes, and New York Knicks from 03 to 17. And he had a 335 three-point percentage, which is, you know, not too shabby. They let you shoot the ball from out there at that rate. He had almost a steal per game, and he actually averaged that three times in his career. Here's what I'm going to remember Matt Barnes for. Two things. First thing is, he had beef with Derek Fisher, right? Derek Fisher was a player for the Lakers, then he went on to coach the Knicks. That was a bad idea. But Derek Fisher had beef with Matt Barnes, and Matt Barnes went the I know where your wife has been bedding her boots under card, and nobody liked that. And that's one of those moves when somebody plays and you go, oh, okay, that was a little low. You shouldn't have gone there. But if he knows what he knows, that's their beef. That's not mine. I'm going to remember him for that. I'm also, and that's memorable because at the time Matt Barnes was still a player and Derek Fisher was a coach. There's supposed to be that dynamic of, you don't do that. But Matt Barnes said, I know what I know, and I want the world to know it, so that's your problem. I'm also going to remember Matt Barnes for Kobe, years ago, is guarding the inbounds pass. And Matt Barnes is making the inbounds pass for Golden State. And Kobe's just rocking back and forth, kind of staring at him, chewing his gum like, I'm the bomb. I'm Kobe. There's nothing you can do that's going to matter right here. And so Matt Barnes does one of the fake passes at his face. Like, I'm going to pass. He does it right at his face, right? And Kobe doesn't flinch. Kobe's just like, yeah, I'm going to keep just rocking back and forth, chewing my gum. I do not fear you throwing a basketball off my head. Those are the two things I'm going to remember Matt Barnes for. He officially retires, quote-unquote, on his terms. But NBA offensive players are very happy that he's retired because he cannot torment them on defense anymore. The OKC Thunder have not been doing what everyone thought they were going to do. There was talk that defensive player of the year should be Russell Westbrook because he's holding Carmelo and Paul George to career-low shooting percentages. The Houston Rockets, though, have rattled off 14 straight. They play so well with Chris Paul and James Harden together. Kobe got two numbers retired. I, as always, am running out of time, and I need to play you some awesome music. So, here's what we're going to do. We're going to play some awesome music, and you're going to probably want to tune in next week to check out some more sports numbers, news, and nonsense, and most likely an interview with Miss Cassara Brandenburg. You've been listening to the Radio Free Palmer Sports Scene on 89.7 FM with me, Tim Rocky. Hope you enjoyed it.
On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree.